We're going to chant the Vishnu Sahasranama, and then we'll go to the meeting.
We haven't done this in a long time.
Yoga yoga vidhan leta pradana purusheshwarah narasimhava pushriman keshava purushottamahan sarva sarva shivastanur bhuta irnivirvyayah sambhavo pavano parta prabhava prabhudishwarah svayambhu shambhura ditya pushkaraksho mahasvanah Anadinitanotata vidata daturuttamaha Aprameyo rishikesha padmanabho maraprabhu Vishvakarma manusvashtasta vishtasta virudhruvaha Akrayashashvata krishno logitaksha pratarlanaha Prabhu dasnika rubhama vittam mandaram param Ishana pranada prano jecha shreshtra prajapatiki Hiranya garbo bhugarbo madhago madhusudanaha Ishvaro vikrami tanvi medhavi vikramakramaha Anuttamo duradarsha kritaknya kritiratmavan Kusesha sharanam sharma ishvareta kapjabhavaha Ahasam vatsaro yana pratyaya sarva darshanaha Ajas sarveshvara siddha siddhi sarva nirachyutaha Vrishakavira meyatma sarva yoga vinishritaha Vasurva sumana satya samadma sannitasamaha Amodha kundali kaksho vrishkarma vrishakratihi Dutro bahujrava prurvishvayonishuchishravaha Arta-shashvata-sthanur-vararoho mahatapaha Sarvara-sarva-vidvanur-vishvakshenojanardhanaha Vedo-yeda-vidavyam-go-vedam-go-veda-vidkarihi Loka-dhyakṣa-surā-dhyakṣo-dharmā-dhyakṣa-kṛtā-kṛtaḥ Chaturātmā-chaturvyūha-chaturdamśa-chaturbhujaḥ Yāhiṣṇur-bhojanam-bhokta-sahiṣṇur-jagadā-vidaḥ Anakro-vinyayo-jeta-viśvayonim-punarvasuḥ Upendro-vāmanak-prāṁśura-mogaśu-chirurjitaḥ Atindra-svandra-hat-sargo-dhata-tma-niyamo-yamaha Vedyo-vaitya-sada-yogi-virahamadha-vomaduhu Atindriyo-maha-mayo-mahot-sabho-maha-balaha Maha-buddhir-maha-viryo-maha-shaktir-maha-jyutihi Anirdeshya-vapa-shri-mana-milyatma-maha-vrithir Maheshwasa-mahi-varta-shri-nivasa-sa-sangatihi Anirvasura-nando-govindo-govidam-patihi Maricharda-mano-vansa-suparno-bhujagurta-maha Hiranyanabha-sutapa-padmanabha-prajapatihi Amrityur-sarva-dhik-simha-santata-sandhi-mansiraha Ajo-durma-shanam-jyatha-vishyutat-madhurariha
Okay, so we're on number 204 in the Vishnu Sahasranama. Repeat after me. Ajaha.
Ajaha.
Ajaha. Ajati, gachati, iti, ajaha. Ajahat also means goat.
Goat.
So we know as an animal, you know, like go means cow, ajaha means goat, gajaha means elephant, right? So, but ajaha also has the meaning of gachati, the one who, the going. So here it has that meaning. Ajatiyo, it says ajati, then it gives the synonym. Ajati, are you there? Okay. Ajati, gachati. So ajati means gachati, iti ajaha. Okay, so when we're using, I mean, Ishwara doesn't go anywhere because Ishwara is everywhere. Brahman doesn't go anywhere. Vishnu doesn't go anywhere because there's nowhere. They're not. But from the standpoint of the Upadis, once the creation is manifest, we say, almost metaphorically, Bhagavan enters into the soul, you know, the Sukshma Sharira of the Jiva. Right? Because the Jiva is mitya. The Maya Upadi, you know, the body, mind, sense organs are mitya. But mitya means that it has absolutely no being apart from the Satchitananda Atma. So now when that mitya comes into manifestation, Bhagavan as though enters in. There's no entering really, but as though enters in. It reminds me, it's like when we're doing like a guided meditation, if we say that Brahman becomes dominant, the self becomes dominant, or the self moves to the forefront. There's no movement. There's no movement. There's not any becoming more present. It's all from the standpoint of the Upadi, right? Because so the movement actually is taking place, we don't talk about any movement, on the part of the Upadi. Like, for instance, if we say, gently shift your focus, that's the Upadi. The mind gently shifting the focus. And in the shifting, the gentle shifting of the focus, the Atma becomes more dominant. It's not becoming more dominant. Nothing is happening, right? It's as dominant as it has ever been. But the Upadi has the capacity to become distracted by all of the activities that are taking place. And so all that happens in terms of dominance or non-dominance is really the identification of my being with whatever is going on in the mind. So for instance, if I say I am agitated, there is a conflation, a mutual superimposition between my own self-evident presence and what is going on in the Upadi. So the Upadi takes itself, because of Ajnanam, to be the self. And so when we say something, the self is coming more into dominance or is coming into the forefront, what we mean is that the self, as differentiated from the Upadi, is shining. See what I mean? Otherwise, that same Atma, the same me, is shining, but from the standpoint of the mind, is just totally identified with whatever experience is going on in the mind. Right? And so there's no viveka. So once you shift, when you do that subtle shift, it's really a subtle shift of viveka in terms of recognizing the freedom of your own being, the nature of your own being, you know, as independent of the upadi, being the satyam, the adhishtana. When I say independent, the self is always independent. The namarupa, the mind, the supra sharira, the body, all experiences are dependent. The self is independent. When we use these two terms, the satyam mitya, the two terms for that, for the satyam is adhishtana. The adhishtana technically is a word that's used along with mitya. For something to be mitya, it must have an adhishtana. The adhishtana is what is actually there. It is what the mitya depends upon. So all of my experiences are mitya. They depend upon the adhishtana for their being. I am that adhishtana. The Satchit-Ananda Atma is the adhishtana for all experiences that I have. So that's satya-mitya adhishtana. Okay.
What if you understand that, but it still doesn't stick, the understanding doesn't stick all the time?
That's true for everybody until you... Until you really gain nishta. That's what nishta means. because your raga dvesha, your likes and dislikes are pulling you away. You know, your I would say that your what you value more is the raga dvesha.
Yeah. Could you say the nama rupa are within the realm of dependent origination and the
nama rupa is all mitya.
And the self
is satyam.
Is independent origination.
Are you talking in Buddhist terms?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Okay. So if you want to use the dependent origination, what they mean there is everything within Maya, right?
Yes,
it's endlessly dependent.
Right.
And there's what we call an infinite regress in terms of cause and effect.
Right.
It means there's no first cause.
Right.
Every effect has a cause, and so every cause itself has a cause.
Yes.
Right? And so that goes into an infinite regress. That's what's happening within Maya.
Yes.
From the standpoint of the self, which is Satyam, there is no independent or dependent origination because it's free of time.
Yeah.
So there's no...
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So you don't want to use origination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Origination can only take place within Maya.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So dependent origination is a good way of talking about everything that exists within time and space.
Nama Rupa.
Good. Yeah, that's nice. So, Ajaha. Everybody clear on that now?
Yes.
Swamiji has a nice little thing here. Sometimes, often, we talk about, he says, Bhakti Hridayam, in the heart of the Bhaktas, right?
Yeah.
Ajati, Gachati, Iti Ajaha, the one who enters the heart of all of the Bhaktis, of all of the devotees. He enters the heart of all of the devotees because the devotees are focused on him. It's not that he's not there equally in the heart of all beings. But again, from the upadhi, the bhaktas, those, the devotees, you know, are that's where their focus is. And as your focus, that's why I say this very subtle shift brings the truth into the forefront. So imagine you're a bhakta, it means you're always thinking of Ishwara, right? Because that's where your love is, that's where your devotion is. So even if you're experiencing the creation, you're experiencing the creation as Ishwara. Right? So now Ishwara is always there, either as the Satchitatma, or as the Satchitatma with the creation, because it's all Ishwara. Make sense? That's beautiful. Let's do the next one, 205. Durmarshanaha.
Durmarshanaha.
Marshitum na shakyata iti durmarshanaha.
Marshitum na shakyata iti durmarshanaha.
If I do break the sandhi, marshitum na shakyate iti durmarshanaha. That marshanaha means you can manage, you can control. You can control it, you can manage it, something's marshana. Dura marshanaha means you can't control, right? You can't manage. So Bhagavan cannot be managed. He's dura marshana, very difficult to control, right? He's dura marshana, nobody can control him, nobody can manage him, nobody can, you know, contain Bhagavan. So it says, marshitum na shakyate, he is passive, he is not able to be contained. To be managed, to be controlled.
What is shakyate?
To be able, in the passive. So shaknoti would be in the active. So when you take infinitive of purpose, marshitum is marshitum is an infinitive of purpose in Sanskrit. Okay, tumunanti. So when you have an infinitive of purpose, it means like to run, to go, to walk. Is that a verb? Verbal form, to go, to walk, to control. When you put it with the passive, in the passive voice, you would say in English like this, na shakyate, he is not able to be controlled. Mm-hmm. So the passive is going to transfer over to the tum Indian in English, right? So it would mean marshitum, to control, but with the passive, na shakyate, he is not able to be controlled.
But it doesn't mean because of being, right? Doesn't the two ending sometimes mean because of?
No, that's twat.
Or twat.
Yeah. Twat, yeah.
Right.
So do marshanaha, the one who cannot be contained. So contained, controlled, managed, you know, it has all of these meanings. Mm. So Swamiji says something nice, that the Lord cannot be stopped by anybody when he wants to start the creation. There's nobody there to stop him.
Wait, I'm not ready.
There's nobody there to say no. But then he says, then the Lord takes back the creation, and nobody can stop him from doing that. Since the Lord's sankalpa is satya sankalpa. So what that means, the whatever the thought is, whatever the jnanavritti is, that is what manifests. That's the satya sankalpa. There's no turning it back, because by the very fact of having the thought, it is. Like, for instance, if I have... You have satya sankalpas also, and we use the ocean example, if I have a thought of the ocean, or say the word ocean, I can't stop the ocean from manifesting within paribhasika, you know, within subjective reality. That's a satya sankalpa. I say it, boom, it's there. But for Bhagavan, it's vyavahara. It's in empirical reality. The jnanavritti is there, the creation is there. So you can't stop that. When the time comes from withdrawing the entire creation unto himself, he makes a sankalpa and the creation is withdrawn. It's not that there's some little man in heaven making a sankalpa, but when the sankalpa is there, the creation withdraws.
And what makes that sankalpa come? Or what?
What they can say, it's the, even though this is just to kind of appease your mind.
Yeah. <It's>, I figured that.
Yeah. It's from the karmas, collective karmas of the jivas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that's all within the creation. So really it's just the natural timing. Like what you'd say, use an example, what causes you to wake up in the morning? Because you're in deep sleep, your antakarana is withdrawn from your sense organs, etc. So what's the impetus for waking up? You can say it's the prarabdha karma.
Okay.
You can say, what is the impetus for the creation? You can say the total samashti prarabdha karma.
Okay.
Or you can just say it's that what's natural.
And does that satisfy you in terms of asking that question? I mean,
it satisfies me for having some internal reason that I can relate to, but I can also just say that's the nature of Ishwara.
Okay.
That cyclical nature of creation. So,
okay, yeah.
What's causing it to come? You can say it's the collective samashti prarabdha of the creation of the Maya, upadi. So, if you have to have an answer to that.
Yeah.
Let's do 206. Shasta.
Shasta.
Shasana karata.
Shasana karata.
Shasta.
Shasta.
Shruti smrityadi bhi.
Shruti
Sarvesham
Anushishtam
Karotiti Shasta. So here Shasta is from Shastra. Shasta is the nominative singular. And it means the one who's a preceptor, who's a teacher, but it's also one who's a punisher, a controller. You know, it has different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one who maintains the order is also Shasta, a governor. A priest, a governor is a Shasta. He keeps the order. So Swamiji looks at it in terms of this Shasta, even though he translates the instructor, the priest, preceptor, the word has many, many different meanings in terms of the disciplinarian, the governor, the one who controls, and also the preceptor, the one who teaches. All these meanings are there. So here it says, shasana karta, shasta. The one who does shasana. Mm-hmm. And shasana has all these different meanings. The one who does teaching. We'd say the one who is the teacher, the one who is the controller. Now when Swamiji unfolds this, in fact, I would make a note for yourselves that Swamiji is equating Dharma to Ishwara is really beautifully discussed here. So this is kind of a nice verse to make a note of. The one who does the shasana is called Shasta. Shasta, okay? So now what is the shasana? It can be the one who teaches, the one who controls. In terms of Dharma, he controls the behavior of the jivas in terms of Dharma. looking at Dharma itself as something that is ingrained, the laws of Ishwara, in every jiva. So Dharma does not have to be learned. It's innate. An understanding of Dharma is innate to every jiva. And as you break Dharma, perform a Dharma, then you're also punished. There's a punishment in terms of guilt and in terms of papa karma. Okay, so people don't really have to teach you Dharma, and yet in the Shruti, in the Smriti, in the Shruti is the Upanishads, in the Smritis, you know, all of the different, like the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Bhagavad Purana, all of the myths, all of the stories, so many circle around Dharma. What is Dharma? And what happens to you when you follow Dharma, and what happens to you when you don't? So it's explicating really the effects, the pola of Dharma and the different polas of a Dharma, the karma polas of Dharma and a Dharma, to make you have more of a value for following them. But it's not that you don't know, because you know in this way, it's called that you have a samanya jnanam, a general understanding of Dharma, because you know how you want to be treated. You know, we don't have to spell that out for you. You can say, if you ask anybody, how do you want to be treated? Well, you know, I want to be respected. I want to be loved. I want to be cared for. I don't want people to steal from me. I don't want people to commit adultery in reference to my partner. The old Ten Commandments and all that, they're all there in some form or another in all of the religions of the world, because these are things I'm very clear. And if you're a parent, you certainly want your children to love and respect you and take care of you, you know. So that honor thy father and mother, that's all, you know, ingrained. You know it for yourself. And since you know it for yourself, you know that that's how you should treat others also. But your raga dvesha, your likes and dislikes, sometimes trump your knowledge. And then you fall into a dharma. And then the creation punishes you with feelings of guilt or shame. And then you also accrue papa karma that will, in the next life, create an unpleasant situation for yourself.
That's
an so listen, I'm going to know a little bit of this.
As you were saying, I was thinking, but then what about situations like where, I mean, the person is under, like, you know, is born into an environment where there's just certain influences that are not dharmic, and so they don't really... Like, they may not know it's not right, or, you know, I can't think of an example.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. You're born into that negative family because of your karma. Your prarabdha is giving you that birth there.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that you still have an innate sense of dharma, and the adharma that you find yourself performing still doesn't feel right.
Right.
Right? And so you can learn and you can get out of it. But it's more difficult.
Yeah.
It's definitely more difficult. But think of it like this. They use this example in the Shastra.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you know about it or not, if you put your hand in fire, you will get burned.
Right, so the effect will be there for sure, but I just wonder about whether the consciousness of the person is not right or will have this effect, you know.
We can say it's Ishwara Anugraha, something, Ishwara Bhagavan's grace that gets you out of this mess that you find yourself in, you know. But it's also just the assimilation of experience. Like, if you're, say, an alert person, when your behavior continues to cause you and others pain, you can actually assimilate that fact and change. Because you're assimilating your experience, that this type of behavior always produces a negative result. And when I'm doing a different kind of behavior, it produces a positive result. And so you can put two and two together, right? Because Bhagavan gives you the karmapala to your action, and if the action is a dharma, it's not going to sit well with you, you know? Even if you get what you wanted, it's still tainted by the karmapala, the result of the action. Pala means result, karma is the action. The karmapala of the adharma in that behavior.
Yeah.
Okay.
But sometimes doing the dharmic thing feels wrong, or even though you know it's right, it feels bad. because of the, it may cause, you know, unhappiness. So, I mean, I guess that's what the Bhagavad Gita is about, but, you know, it's like doing the right thing to correct someone or whatever can feel painful. Maybe it's not being done perfectly right.
Well,
then, but I don't know. Like, sometimes doing the right thing is hard and painful to do.
Sometimes doing the right thing is hard and painful, but there's also what we call kaushalam,
mm-hmm.
that skill in action. There are ways to do hard things that mitigate the painfulness of that hard action in reference to somebody else. Like, say, for instance, I can give you examples. Say you have to fire somebody
mm-hmm.
from their job.
Mm-hmm.
That's really painful, you know. That's something that's going to cause pain for you and for that other person, but you have, there's nothing you can do. So you're both going, it's going to hurt you to do it and hurt the other person, but you don't really have any choice. But the fact that it's not something that you want to do and you're caring for the other person mitigates that difficult action. Now what if somebody's very, very sick? You have to take care of them. That's your
mm-hmm.
dharma. But if you didn't take care of them, that would be much worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there is pain in the creation. But you don't want the pain. You have to accept the pain in the creation and the difficult situations, but you don't want it to be born of a dharma. Because if it's born of a dharma, then it's a different kind of pain. It's a pain of guilt and feeling separated from your being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a horrible pain.
Yeah.
It's not that dharma is going to free you from the pain of the universe, but it'll free you from the pain of a dharma. So where you feel connected, you know, and you're put in a difficult situation.
Yeah.
In fact, it's interesting because one of my patients was given a raise and given a much higher position, but in this, as soon as he was given that higher position, he was put in a position where there were all these layoffs and he had to fire all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, awful.
Yeah, so
he said, I will do this for a year so I can learn how to do these things, but this is not for me. You know, it's just not for me. But he has to, because that's his job, you know. But it's not that it's not painful. Anyway. I forgot to do the Sanskrit. Let's do the Sanskrit. Shasana karta shasta.
Is it?
Shasana
karta shasta. I already did that, but I want to translate it. The shasta means the one who is a who does karta from kartra and shasta from shastra. The one who does the shasana. So the shasana is the teaching, the controlling, the punishing, you know, correcting, all of these, the governing, these are all the meanings of shasana. The one who does that shasana. Then he says, shruti smriti adi bihi. By the shruti, by means of bihi, not of instrumental plural, by means of the shruti, the shastra, the Upanishads, and the smritis. The smritis are like the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Bhagavad, take those itihasas, those epics, and then you can add, because of the Adi, the Puranas also.
Mm-hmm.
So by all of these, all of the stories, all of the myths, by means of all of these, Sarve Sham, for everyone, because not everybody is being studying the Upanishad, but the Smritis are available to everybody. The Puranas are available to everybody. The grandmothers are always teaching their grandchildren, all the, like Arjun, right? You know, Pami is always teaching them all of the stories. She knows all of the stories. And I'm sure Arjuna just loves them. The children love them. They get all of the stories. But all of the stories have a message. They have a dharma that's being conveyed. So through all of these means, for all people, for everybody, anushishtam karoti. He does the anushishta. He means he does all of the teaching, right? All of that teaching and all of that teaching by means of all of these stories and all of these texts also. So, karoti iti shasta. So in that way, he is the shasta and is supported by the Puranas, etc. And it's because the Puranas and they are always giving the karma pala. If you do this, this is what happens, you know. And so then you get a value for following Dharma, because Dharma gives a blessing, no matter how hard it is. There's what we call Ishvara Anugraha, the blessing of Ishvara. Because Ishvara is the manifestation of Dharma, all of the laws. So if you're within those laws, as you're staying within those laws, you receive the blessing really in the form of Shanti, of Antakarana Shuddhi, purity of mind, in which the sun reflects in the mind in a form that's true to the sun, instead of like a muddy water, right? So your being is not in competition with agitation in the mind, because the mind has tejas because of Dharma.
And these messages are always very clear. I mean, you don't miss it.
No, you can misinterpret. Dharma is usually very clear, and sometimes it's not. When it's not clear, it says in the Taittiriya Upanishad, when the Dharma is confused, you don't quite know what is appropriate behavior. Yeah. Seek a wise person of your era. That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Seek a wise person of your era, of your time, to discuss it with, because Dharma can be confusing. Mm-hmm. Often, mostly it's not, but there are instances when it is.
Gyorgi is a Shruti, and Shruti is the heart, and Shruti is the remembrance.
Shruti is the Vedas, that which has been revealed. So Shruti, that would be the Vedas, the Upanishads. The Smriti, for something to be considered a Smriti, like the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Puranas, their vision has to be the same as the Shruti. So the Smriti is what is remembered, or what is dependent upon the knowledge of the Shruti.
So Shruti is what's heard, right? The word means.
It's what's heard, but it's also what is Shruti means, what is taught, what is revealed.
Right. Yeah. And Shruti is what's remembered. So is there a reason that the certain texts are under Shruti?
Because things that are talked about Shruti, they have no author. The things that are Smriti have an author, like the Mahabharata. Okay.
So the Gita is considered which one?
The Gita is a Smriti, but it is revered as an Upanishad because it's taught by Krishna. But it's a Smriti because it's taught by Krishna, but it's revered and held as an Upanishad, which is what we chant after the end of every chapter. Right? It's considered an Upanishad, but it's a Smriti. Let's say our prayer.
So on the back of the bridge is the final prayers.
Yeah.
So the word Shravana means, implies that you understand.
No, Shravana is when you're being exposed to the teaching.
Just exposure.
Yeah, it's the teaching, receiving the teaching of Shravana, hearing the teaching.
Okay. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that you understand it. It doesn't. Just hear it.
That you've been being taught.
Swasti prajabhya paripalayantam nyayena margena mahim mahishah go brahmanebhya shrimasti nityam loka samasta sukhino bhavantu kale varshatu varjanyah prithivi sasya shalini desho yam shobharahitah Brahmanasantu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha Sarve santu niramayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kaschit dukha bhag bhavet Asato ma sadgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityor ma amritam gamaya Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om